House. The two then participated in a press conference when once again the president was asked about immigration and the border wall and if a wall has to be included in immigration reform.
Got to include the wall. We need the wall for security. We need the wall for safety. We need the wall for stopping the drugs from pouring in. I would imagine that the people in the room, both Democrat and Republican, I really believe they're going to come up with a solution to the DACA problem, which has been going on for a long time, and maybe beyond that, immigration as a whole. But any solution has to include the wall, because without the wall, it all doesn't work.
The president was then asked about Russian collusion in the 2016 election.
But it has been determined that there is no collusion, and by virtually everybody. So we'll see what happens.
The president also called Russian collusion a Democrat hoax. This is USA Radio News.
When you have your own restaurant, you have to get your hands dirty. Literally. Like, right now, I'm unclogging my grease trap. I also print my own menus every day, so I rely on Staples for great deals on ink. I mean, I can't afford to run out, like my last three busboys.
Right now at Staples, buy one HP ink and get the second 30% off, so you can afford to stock up, because you can't afford to run out.
Oh, good. My sous chef just quit.
Visit Staples today and keep your ink stocked and your business moving. Ends 1/13/18. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
And with a look at some of the stories going on around the world today, here's USA Radio Network's Luke Vargas.
From UN headquarters in New York, I'm Luke Vargas with a selection of the day's top world news headline. In a press conference in Seoul on Wednesday, South Korea's president gave President Trump big credit for creating a diplomatic opening. President Moon Jae-in went on to speculate U.S.-led sanctions and pressure may have led North Korea to the negotiating table. Hours later, in a phone call between the two leaders, Trump reportedly said he was open to the U.S. joining talks with North Korea at a later date. The government of Ecuador is calling Julian Assange's continued refuge inside the country's embassy in London unsustainable. The WikiLeaks founder has spent 5.5 years inside the facility to evade arrest, but Ecuador's foreign minister is pursuing a mediation, possibly with a third country, to resettle Assange elsewhere. Although Assange is no longer wanted by Swedish authorities, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has stated that arresting Assange is a priority of the Trump administration. And the search for missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 will resume in the southern Indian Ocean within days. That announcement follows a deal struck between Malaysia's government and the U.S. company Ocean Infinity, which will only be paid if they find the plane within 90 days. MH370 disappeared in March 2014 after departing Kuala Lumpur. The governments of Australia, China, and Malaysia spent nearly 3 years unsuccessfully searching for the plane.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And now, from the vault of legends of success, the very best of legends, and requested from our listeners, John's one-on-one interview with legendary founder of JetBlue, David Neeleman. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's most successful entrepreneurs, CEOs, and Forbes 400 members, and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and as always, we're glad you're with us today. Well, folks, one of the most frequent questions I'm asked, and I've been asked since I started this program, Legends of Success, is what do you look for in a guest to invite them on your program? And that answer has been pretty consistent. I look for individuals who have demonstrated out-of-the-box creativity for a new idea that most of their peers told them it would never fly. Or maybe it's a new business in a market that already is overcrowded, in a market that exists, but somehow they created their own niche. They beat their own path into that marketplace. Well, I also like risk-taking and busting through tough business cycles with confidence. And whether times are good or bad, that entrepreneur or guest always did the right thing and acted with integrity. Well, folks, that pretty much sums up today's guest. And one of my favorite CEOs, or one of the favorite guests that we've had on this program since we debuted. David Neeleman is the founder of JetBlue Airways, and he has never stopped hearing those words, "it can't be done," from other people in the industry, mostly from an airline industry that you know as well as I do if you've flown a number of times. And historically, this industry hasn't treated the passengers much better than the baggage they handle. But today, we're going to discuss this whole industry and how David Neeleman really beat his own path in this industry and how he raised the benchmark for customer service in an airline industry that, in my opinion, is always borderlined on a bit of arrogance. David, welcome to Legends of Success, my friend. It's glad to have you. We're glad to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me. Well, always fun.
It is always fun. We haven't talked, at least on the air, for a while, and you know, there's always new things happening. I would say that intro has a lot of adjectives or a lot of phrases that described you, would you say?
Yeah, it does. You know, I mean, whoever's, I guess, dumb enough to pick this business, then I guess you have to do some Herculean things to try and be a success. Sometimes I wonder what I'm doing here, but, you know, it's always interesting, never a dull moment.
Well, you may say that it wasn't the brightest thing. I've got a quote. It's funny. I dug this up from Time Magazine. Folks, this was in 2005. They interviewed the multi-billionaire Richard Branson, who most people recognize from the Virgin Airlines and all the different conglomerates this man has. They asked Richard Branson, they said, "What's your biggest gripe in the airline industry and what makes JetBlue different?" And they went on to ask him. They said to him, "Listen, do you ever kick yourself for not joining David Neeleman when he wanted to start JetBlue with you?" And his answer, "Yes, I'm not somebody who looks back and has enormous regret, but there's no question that was a mistake." Do you remember having those discussions with him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's this airline, and he's trying to do it again, but this JetBlue is going to be called Virgin America. We were far down the track, and you know, he wanted certain things that we couldn't abide by, and so at the end of the day, we decided to go separate ways, and it was our decision to do so, and it was a really good one. I'm really happy that we did it on our own and didn't do it with him.
Well, you know, and he's a great entrepreneur. He's a pretty amazing guy. Kind of reminds me of the new Malcolm Forbes, who did all kinds of crazy things for attention, but highly successful nonetheless, right?
Yeah, well, no, he's a great guy, and he's a very, you know, smart guy, and he's done amazing things. I mean, just the other day, he was, you know, committing. He's into renewable energy now, so it's an area I have a lot of interest in as well. But I think it was just better for us to go it alone. And you know, as much as he, you know, wishes he would have been with us, he's trying to make it go here in the U.S. as well with his own airline. Again, we're, you know, the JetBlue brand's a great brand, and we're happy that we created it on our own.
David, for the listeners, I mean, I think just about everybody knows the JetBlue name. Maybe not everybody's flown on it. Before we find out how this all started, where you came from, give me an overview of JetBlue, a nice description for the folks. Why is JetBlue different? And you know, why have you come into a market where everyone said you would fail?
Well, I think when we started JetBlue, you know, we knew we were coming into an industry that had its challenges kind of post-deregulation. And, you know, we looked at all the airlines that were out there, and we said, we want to become the best airline. We want to actually differentiate ourselves in a you know, commodity business. We want to kind of elevate ourselves, you know, by bringing humanity back to air travel. And so we thought, okay, let's compare ourselves to the rest of the airlines and see, you know, what it would take for us to be the best. And, you know, we realized that the hurdle wasn't all that high, that, you know, to be the best airline, you know, really wasn't all that difficult. And so we just at that point in time decided that we wanted to become a customer service company and that, you know, kind of in all cases we would be focused on our customers. Not that we're perfect and we don't run a perfect operation and we don't, you know, we fly, you know, we'll fly about 20 million people this year and, you know, I would hope that 19 point something million of them, you know, love us and the rest are going to say, you know, I wish they would have done a little better. But overall, I think we just do a better job of taking care of our customers. We cancel flights less than anyone else. We don't overbook our flights. You know, we give you a television set with 36 channels and 100 channels of live TV. You know, we train our people. We hire really good people. We give them upside in the company. And, you know, and if you, you know, push back out of the gate in Kennedy and there's thunderstorms blocking your way, you're going to sit there for 3 hours. You know, hopefully there'll be someone that will be smiling there, giving you updates while you're watching 36 channels of TV, kicking back, relaxing, as opposed to stressing out while you're traveling.
You know, I think one of the biggest gripes in this industry, David, and excuse me, I've had that with a couple of majors. I have not had it on JetBlue. I hope it doesn't happen on JetBlue. But the worst thing is when you are delayed in an ice storm or windstorm and they know it's going to be more than 15 minutes, but 10 times in a row they'll tell you we'll be off in 15 minutes, and you know they're lying.
Well, you know, I think, you know, not to defend, you know, my fellow brothers, but I will a little bit here because, you know, we are at the whim of the air traffic control system in this country. And, you know, by the way, it needs updating. It needs modernizing. There's a lot of things that could be done to improve the flow. And, you know, we've got a great FAA administrator that's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are often times that they give us information where they'll say, we'll be going in 15 minutes, and then they keep pushing it back. And we can't go anywhere if we don't get released to fly. Conversely, they may call us and say, hey, because of wind in the New York area, you know, all flights are delayed 2 hours today. So we tell our customers flights are delayed 2 hours and trying to get them up to date because there's nothing worse than going to the airport thinking a plane's going on time and it's going to be delayed 2 hours. And then they'll call, you know, back 30 minutes later and say, just kidding, all flights are going on time. So now what do you do? So, I mean, it is very unpredictable. And, you know, I think they've tried to do a good job with the FAA, but, you know, it's up and down. And you may have a microburst come over and divert 12 airplanes and, you know, those airplanes were going, you know, going to land, and then we're going to turn them around quickly on the ground and send them off to the West Coast. And now your plane's sitting in Atlantic City or, you know, upstate New York somewhere. So it's you know, not always within our control. And, you know, I really don't think that, you know, our, you know, other airlines, I don't think they necessarily deliberately lie. I think they sometimes we're maybe optimistic, mm-hmm. and we should be more realistic, but we're trying to do the best we can.
Well, I know that you have set, and the history has been written here, that you have raised the benchmark in customer service. We're going to get back to what differentiates you in a market that who in the world would open up a new airline at the time you did, have the challenges you did, and we're going to find out some lessons, and it's not always easy flying. Folks, our guest today is in the middle of his own David and Goliath story in the airline industry. And if you've had the same experience as I've had with the major airlines, you're sure glad he's winning. His name is David Neeleman, the CEO, the founder of JetBlue Airways, our exclusive guest today. I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
This is Professor Stuart Diamond of the Wharton School of Business. You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dynavite for help. DINOVITE .com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
DINOVITE is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank DINOVITE for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to DINOVITE for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're really pleased to have our friend David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways, on with us today. He's always an interesting interview. He's a wonderful success story in America. David, you started JetBlue Airways at a time that people said, this is insane to start a brand new airline business. And as you looked at the industry, what was your biggest gripe? Where did you think was the biggest shortfall? And what was the difference that you were going to make in the industry?
Well, you know, there were a lot of things that I thought this industry could do better. But, you know, one in particular, and it has to do with our home base here in New York, there weren't really any low-fare carriers in New York. And you had Newark. LaGuardia was kind of the airport of choice for the airlines and, you know, a lot of the customers. Kennedy was, from a domestic point of view, domestic flying had some international flights, but was virtually empty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we saw there was a great opportunity. The other thing that was interesting is that when we started, the domestic travel over a period of, say, 15 years had gone up 65%,
mm-hmm.
and New York was up only 4%.
Really? And what do you attribute that to?
Because the fares just kept going up and up and up. Yeah. And there was no stimulation from low fares.
I see.
And there was a capped amount of flights at LaGuardia and Newark, and they weren't adding anything. And as the market grew, all they did is just keep raising the fares, and the fares just kept going up and up and up. So we saw a huge opportunity to go in Kennedy, and you know, we had as many people that lived as close to Kennedy Airport as they had in Dallas or Atlanta. And you know, like I said, other than transcon flying, there was virtually no domestic travel.
Hmm.
So we went in there in a big way, and you know, we're the largest airline at Kennedy, even if you include the international airports. And you know, a lot of customers have made the trek out there, and because they know that they've got to drive a little further if you don't live within our area, if you're coming from Manhattan or if you're coming up from Westchester. But you know, when you get there, you're going to be treated well, and the flight's going to go, and you're going to have a great experience.
Well, I know, and if I said on the earlier segment that it that I was a little ticked. This is a positive show. We want to have the legends on who have done things to inspire others. And, you know, it was my true feelings coming out of just the way we passengers have been treated historically in the airlines. But I do believe that you helped raise the benchmark, according to my research. But let's go back. We know JetBlue is a top-notch discount airline, and you set some new gold standards in the industry. It's all been written already. Where do you come from, David? I mean, where were you born, and where's your family from?
Well, I have kind of an interesting story. My father was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. My father and mother, and you know, from immigrant parents that had immigrated to Utah because they joined the LDS Church or the Mormon Church, and my dad decided that he wanted to be a missionary and serve his church, so he was called to go to Brazil. So we went to Brazil and fell in love with the country, came home and said, knew my mom before he did his couple-year hitch down there, and said, let's get married and then let's go back to Brazil as a journalist. So he went back as a foreign correspondent for United Press International and was a bureau chief. So I was born in Brazil. I'm actually a dual citizen of Brazil and got a chance to learn the language and get immersed in the culture, and then had the, you know, really great opportunity to do the same thing my father did, is go back there as a missionary. Mm. And that experience shaped me in ways that nothing could have. I mean, it was just being primarily with the poor folks of Brazil. Those were the only ones that cared to hear about the message that we had of, you know, the gospel message we had. And so I learned how to be a leader down there. I learned how to have compassion. I learned how to love people of all different types of nationality. I learned, you know, Portuguese, a language that I still use today. Mm-hmm. And it made me the person I am. And then I came back and I got into college and realized later on in life, I realized I had ADD, you know, kind of a attention deficit disorder, a disability for learning. So I ended up dropping out of college, starting my own company, and when that company failed, I had a really sharp lady, smart lady that ran a travel agency and called me up and said, hey, why don't you come and work for me? And together we built a company, Morris Air, which was very successful, became an airline.
That was June Morris, correct?
Yeah, June Morris. Mm-hmm. And June and I then sold the company to Southwest Airlines. I went to work for Southwest, full of hope and aspirations. And when I got there, I realized that, you know, I wasn't really a big company guy at that time. And I was fired from Southwest, but I had a non-compete for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So during the next 5 years,
You planned.
I planned and plotted and started a software reservation system company, which I sold to Hewlett Packard. And helped start a company up in WestJet, up in Canada called WestJet, which is a very successful low fare carrier up there. Mm-hmm. And then we launched JetBlue with $130 million of equity capital here in the New York area. And
well, before
we've had our ups and downs, no doubt about it, but it's been a great ride.
It's been a great ride. But you went over something that I want our listeners to not miss. We'll go back to the ADD, okay? Attention Deficit Disorder. When you're growing up, and I think this is important for the parents and the teachers to learn, you have not only dealt with, but you have channeled that ADD, I think, into a positive energy. I'm going back to the third grade. My research says you just about failed the third grade because people – well, you tell me what happened. This was not easy for a young boy at this time.
Well, I did fail the third grade. My parents wouldn't let me fail the third grade. My teacher said, you're not passing, and they went to higher and you know, basically forced me to the fourth grade. You know, I was a really poor student, and I didn't know why. You know, I just thought I was dumb and I was stupid, and I just didn't get it. I was, you know, and you know, I've become very passionate in this area because, you know, I went through my whole life believing that I had you know, inferior intelligence than those other kids. But the truth was, I couldn't focus the same way they could, and I scholastically, you know, I didn't do as well on standardized tests.
Yes.
But you know, kind of in a lot of different ways, I was better than you know, my peers at a lot of different things. I just didn't have. No one ever taught me how to learn in a different way, and so when I discovered I had this problem, and you know, it kind of was such a relief to me, and it brought back a lot of emotions of the difficulty that I had in school. So I'm very involved in, you know, organizations that talk about attention deficit disorder, And I, you know, there's one that I'm the honorary chair of called Smart Kids with Learning Disabilities, mm-hmm. where we're trying to teach parents, you know, if you'll just let these kids follow their passion and you'll, mm-hmm. you know, there are different ways to teach them more visually, then they'll probably end up being a lot more successful than you are. If you let them, if you crush their spirits, then, you know, obviously, that won't be a good thing. And, you know, you're going to have kids that are not going to be successful. But if you let them soar, you let them fly, they're going to do amazing things. There's a lot of people. Most people don't talk about the fact they have a learning disability, but there's a lot of very successful people in this world that have the same problem I do.
Well, one of our friends of the show, and you may know him, but I know you certainly know who he is a man by the name of Paul Orfila. Paul is the founder of Kinko's.
Uh-huh.
And he had a tremendous, still does, has a tremendous case of ADD. He's also dyslexic, so he's really had some challenges. But as I speak with the David Neelemans and the Paul Orfilas, David, I'm seeing that this ADD is a surge, like energy. It may be difficult to concentrate, but I think there are hidden gifts in that ADD that, if channeled correctly, will make you superior compared with your peers.
Well, you know, Richard Branson has dyslexia. Charles Schwab has it. I mean, the list goes on and on. Those people that actually admit that they have it, you know, I suspect and, you know, have confidence a lot of other people do. And one of the attributes of the type of ADD that I have, you know, I have, you know, disorganization and trouble getting started and procrastination and all those things that are perceived to be negative. But if you have this particular, you know, type that I have, you have this ability to hyper-focus on the thing that you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And you become almost obsessed with that, and you become, you have this creative streak that you can, you know, basically think outside the box in ways that people haven't, you know, just, you know, thought about things. And you know, sometimes even to me it becomes so obvious I can't figure out why. And, you know, I'll just give you an example. The whole thought of ticketless travel. I invented ticketless travel back in the Morris Air days, e-ticket. In those days, everybody took a ticket to the airport and gave it to a person at the gate.
Sure.
Well, I had ADD, and I was very forgetful, so I always kept forgetting my ticket. And I kept saying to myself, why do we need to make people bring tickets to the airport? Why don't they just have a confirmation number, just like at a hotel? Or why don't we just get their name and have them show ID and put them on the airplane?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very simple solution to, you know, a very complex problem. But, you know, it's something that I came up with. You know, the first time I saw a company that could put a TV on an airplane, I said, that's perfect. I want to be watching something else when I'm flying. I don't want to be staring at a window or staring at a book or something. I want to be watching TV and channel surfing.
Well, sure. And, you know,
so, you know, it's just simple stuff that, you know, sometimes you just have an ability to see stuff that others, you know, haven't in the past.
We get back, we'll find more about David Neeleman's story and the JetBlue Airways, how it's taken off and really set some high standards. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News.
There has been no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians, or Trump and Russians. No collusion.
President Donald Trump earlier today, when he welcomed Prime Minister Erna Solberg of Norway to the White House, the two then held a press conference. President Trump wasn't done with speaking about the assertion that he colluded with the Russians.
I can only say this. There was absolutely no collusion. Everybody knows it. Every committee. I've been in office now for 11 months. For 11 months, they've had this phony cloud over this administration, over our government. And it has hurt our government. It does hurt our government. It's a Democrat hoax that was brought up as an excuse for losing an election.
A major power outage essentially shut down parts of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas today. The lights went out late this morning, leaving many booths of major companies in darkness. This is USA Radio News.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.
Is it possible there exists an ancient master blueprint that holds the secret behind the events of our times? From Jonathan Cahn, best-selling author of The Harbinger and The Book of Mysteries, comes The Paradigm, the ancient blueprint that holds the mystery of our times. In his most explosive book yet, Cahn reveals the stunning master blueprint that is unfolding before our eyes. You'll never see the world the same way again. Read The Paradigm, available wherever fine books are sold.
And now, from the vault of Legends of Success, the very best of legends, and requested from our listeners, John's one-on-one interview with legendary founder of JetBlue, David Neeleman. Here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. We're visiting with David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways. David saw a niche in the marketplace that the others ignored or they didn't see. But David, even before we get into the JetBlue era, let's talk about when you met with June Morris. Who was she and what happened?
Well, June, great lady, and actually left the Southwest Airlines board after serving there for a long time. But June had a corporate travel agency primarily. She did a lot of bookings for big corporations and successful businesswoman. But she was really wanted to kind of take advantage of deregulation and was trying to figure out how to make her place. And I had my own business going that I started in college, and that had failed because the airline went out of business and took my little company with me. And so she called me up and wanted me to come talk to her. And as luck would have it, my uncle happened to be her attorney, so he persuaded me to go talk to her. And she said, hey, let's go do some things differently. And so together, you know, kind of with my ideas and with her backing, and she had a husband, Mitch Morris, who was a great man who was helping back her. And we started running charters, and then we evolved that into an airline. And started the company with maybe a $200,000 charter bond and $100,000, and ended up selling the company to Southwest for $130 million. So it was quite a ride for both of us.
That is quite a ride. Now, we got to ask this, and it was public anyway. You probably made a couple of dollars coming out of that. Am I correct?
I did. Yeah, I was the second largest shareholder. We had some investors that we gave them their money back. And, you know, I was 33, and I had about $25 million of Southwest stock, so it wasn't too bad.
You sold to Southwest, but when you worked for them for a while, you didn't get along with the system there. I'm not knocking Southwest. What was the issue? They bought Morris Air. You got $25 million in Southwest stock, and you're working for them. What did you or didn't you like about the system working with a bigger company?
Well, you know, it was, Herb and I hit it off. He's a great man, and when I got down there, I was used to kind of running my own thing and coming up with ideas and making them happen right away. And, you know, Southwest was a more established company and had its protocols, and it was a much bigger company, so it couldn't really, do things, maybe as quickly as I would have liked. And so I started pushing the issue, and, you know, finally I got to my wit's end, and, you know, Herb said, why don't you leave? So I said, yeah, it's probably going to be the best thing. So
I love it.
I left after about 5.5 months. It didn't take me very long for them to send me packing. And it was really, I think this is a very important point, because a lot of people, I was very upset by that. And, I had sold my little baby. I built this little company up, and I had all this money that I thought I ever needed. But I wasn't happy. I was very upset, and as it turns out, and as I look back on that decision, it was really the best thing. Herb did me a huge favor by cutting me loose from Southwest, and he knew it wasn't a good thing for me, and, it really allowed me to do some other things, start, a couple of other airlines and start JetBlue.
Wow.
And, take my passion for, ticketless travel. So I think in life, it's not really what happens to you, it's how you react to it and what you make out of it.
I've got to say, though, David, yes, I'm sure it doesn't feel good about, getting fired. I know Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank, the co-founders of Home Depot, were fired at 50. They had nothing. At least we could say, lucky for you, when you did get fired, you walked away sad with $25 million.
Yeah, there wasn't too many people crying for me.
You're right.
My wife wasn't.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, it wasn't that sad of a story. I was the only sad guy of the bunch, actually. So.
Well, yeah, but you get over that. You got to be tough. You got over it. Now, you had a non-compete. How long was that good for?
5 years. And that's 4.5 years left by the time I left Southwest. So it was in a guy who's in patient's world, that seemed like an eternity.
That is, well, you could sit back and count your money all day. But let me ask you this.
Yeah, I went home and I thought I was going to retire. My wife, I think at the time, we have 9 kids. So I think I had probably 5 or 6 that she had a honey-do list for me to do, and I realized that wasn't my lot in life.
That gave you a little inspiration to get out of the house.
Yeah, it sure did.
You finally, your non-compete expired when, David?
Non-compete expired was the end of
2000?
The year 2000.
2000.
The end of 99. It was 99, but I had the money, and then it expired, and then it took us about another 8 months or so to get flying at JetBlue.
Yep. Now, so you've been planning and plotting. You didn't execute because you honored your non-compete.
Right.
David, if you look at the entire history of America, was there ever, as outsiders looking in, was there ever a worse time to start an airline? You started up 8 months or so or previous to 9/11.
Well, I didn't know about 9/11 when
we
started.
But then again, you survived. But then after 9/11, you went IPO, which is absolutely incredible. What, 7 or 8 months afterwards, right?
Yeah, we had quite a ride. I mean, it wasn't the greatest time to start an airline. If I would have known how bad it was going to get, maybe I would have had second thoughts. If I would have known about 9/11 and that fuel was going to go to, you know, whatever, $80 a barrel.
But isn't that all entrepreneurs? If they look back and say, my Lord, if I knew what I was going to go through, maybe I wouldn't. And good thing you don't know. And that goes for all entrepreneurs out there.
That's true. And it's really, again, not what happens to you. It's how you react to it and how can you adapt.
Well, that is well put. And I want you to focus on that a little bit for our entrepreneurs and people in life that are having a tough time. Go over that a little bit. It's not what happens to you, but how you react. Drive into that a little.
We started the company. We lost money our first year, which most companies do in their first year of operation. But from years two and on, maybe two through six, we made money. We made money for, 18 consecutive quarters. We were flying high. Nobody could beat us. And then, the fuel prices started coming up. And our model is low fares and great service. And all of a sudden, we couldn't charge the same low fares that, we had charged before. And if you can't do that, then not as many people travel. So we didn't do a very good job of adapting, so we really had some difficulty, and we lost money for a couple of quarters. We're back to profitability last quarter, and hopefully for the foreseeable future. But I really believe that challenges will come, and I was with Kevin Rollins, the CEO of Dell, who's now going through a little bit of a difficult time, and we talked about the oscillations of business. It comes up and it comes down, and it's really you have to ask yourself, having gone through that challenge and that adversity, are you a better company because you did? And I would tell you that JetBlue today is a better company. We have better focus on our costs, better focus on our revenues, and we're going to get through this a much stronger company. And we could have said, forget about it, we don't want to be in this business, we could have given up, but instead, let's take this negative and make it into a positive.
David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways, we're on Legends of Success. We'll be back right after this.
Legends of Success has its own website at legendsofsuccess.com. There you'll find all the information about the show and John's guests. Listen to past shows, see upcoming shows, photos, and how to contact John. It's all there at legendsofsuccess.com.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property,
can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
We're back with David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways. I'm John Resnick. You're listening to Legends of Success. When David Neeleman came up with the idea of JetBlue, he came up not to compete so much with others, but to create his own path. And again, going back to the beginning days, I love the story that you were fired because I don't feel sorry for you. You walked out of Southwest Airlines with $25 million of stock. You waited your time. You went in. As you were thinking and planning, what were the specific differences? How were you going to differentiate, David, from all the other airlines? I know you said it earlier in a segment, but to sum it up, what were you going to do different?
Well, you know, Southwest, I had great training. I mean, I was at my own company. I learned a lot there. I went to Southwest. I learned a lot there. I learned a lot about how they treat their people, how they buy their new airplanes. Then I went up to Canada and helped found an airline up there. So I kind of took all these experiences together and said, you know, I think I can create this model that's better and take all the best from the experiences that I had had and then add some things that I think, you know, needed to be done. You know, Southwest, for example, doesn't have live TV on their airplanes. They don't do seat assignments. You know, WestJet didn't do seat assignments either, but they did some cool things with their with their employees on how they compensated them. You know, they let them buy into the company for a discounted price, so we adopted that. So I just took all of the kind of learnings and tried to create, you know, a better model from a lot of experiences that I'd had.
Right, but and then you looked at the marketplace and the flight paths, and you looked to open up where other people didn't. Did they think you were crazy?
Well, I think, you know, there were some eyebrows that were raised when we went into Kennedy mm-hmm. Airport. I mean, that wasn't known as a domestic airport. It's more of an international hub for airlines. But, you know, we saw that it was a very underutilized airport. It had some big, long runways, and, you know, it had was less delay prone than either LaGuardia or Newark. When we started flying into Long Beach, California, it was the nice, cutest little airport you've ever seen. It's so easy to get in on and off an airplane there, and I'm sure there were a lot of people that wondered what the heck we were doing there. You know, had almost no service at all when we went in there. But we've also, you know, gone into cities like Fort Lauderdale that has a lot of service. So, you know, it's not just off the beaten path places, but we also, you know, we mix it up. We do a lot of different things.
Our guest today is David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways. And when we get back, we'll talk with him about the biggest challenge he's faced to date. This is Legends of Success.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-847-3191. That's 800-847-3191. 800-847-3191.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, visiting with David Neeleman, the founder of JetBlue Airways. David, your biggest challenge to date since day one in business here with JetBlue, fuel charges. How are things going, and how are you handling it?
Fuel prices have been tough on us, and, you know, I think the reason, you know, maybe they've been a little tougher on us than maybe some of the big legacy guys is that our model was all about best product and stimulating traffic through low fares. Now, we love going into a market that maybe has had really high fares. I think when we went into, you know, New York to Pittsburgh, the average fare was $221 each way, and the walk-up fare was $800 round trip.
Jeez.
Just this is a flight that's an hour away, maybe an hour and 10 minutes away.
That's insane.
To go in there and blast in a $39 fare and have the everyday fare, you know, be from 69 to 129 each way is a lot of fun. I mean, it gets people traveling. It gets them thinking about traveling.
It's amazing.
The problem is that as fuel goes up, you have to keep taking your fares up and up and up. And it doesn't become quite as much fun when you have to charge higher and higher fares. And so, you know, that's been a challenge for us. And so how we've reacted to that is we've lowered our costs. I mean, we've gone through the organization, and, you know, next year we've planned $150 million of cuts that we're going to do, not affecting our brand or our culture, just finding some things that we can do more efficiently, bringing on less people as we grow just by using technology. Really focus on the revenue, trying to figure out how to improve the revenue mix.
One of the things you did to save overhead from day one, I'm sure I'm correct on this, is that you don't house your reservationists, am I correct, in some big hub somewhere?
No, I mean, we have a training facility in Utah where it's a kind of a little interesting story is that we had this at Morris Air, my airline that was purchased by Southwest. And when Southwest purchased this, I guess the reservationists were unionized, and the union wouldn't let them work from, wouldn't let them work from home, which makes no sense to me. But you know, I don't know.
Wow.
So they couldn't get the job with Southwest if they didn't agree to go in some big call center. And a lot of them were stay-at-home moms, and they didn't want to do that. So I promised if, you know, I started another airline, I would go back and set up, you know, shop in Utah. And so we have a lot of these people working for us today, and many, many others, where all the calls are taken from. You call 1-800-JETBLUE, you're going to get someone who's in their home, in their furry slippers, just happy to have a job, very qualified, excellent crew member that's doing a great job with our customers.
I love it. Now, David, in 2005, things weren't exactly as you planned, but you had an opportunity to take a $75,000 cash bonus, but you turned it down. Why did you do that?
Well, you know, I didn't deserve it. I mean, we lost money for the year. Our crew members didn't get their profit sharing money that they're used to getting. And, you know, I know a lot of the issues, things were beyond my control, but, you know, I just have a real problem taking a bonus if the company doesn't make money. You know, in addition to that, my salary is $200,000, and I've never really taken the salary. I donate that to our crew member catastrophic fund. We have a fund on a matching basis. I tell our crew members, and our president does the same thing. We each put in $200,000. If they'll put in $400,000, at $5 a paycheck, and then we have a board of directors comprised of you know, crew members that work here that help out our other crew members that come up with a catastrophic event in their lives where they need some extra money.
Wonderful. And as you look forward, I mean, at least one thing, I don't know if it's comforting or not, but with the fuel charges, the increase in the cost, at least all the airlines have the same challenge, but there's much more pressure since you trimmed your profit margin. Am I correct?
On the fuel side, yeah. I mean, we probably were hit more because, you know, these guys charge $5,000 tickets, $1,200 tickets, and to cover another $20, $30 fuel cost, it's a little easier for them. And you know, we could have adapted better. I'm not saying that it was all fuel's fault. We just didn't react well enough, and we had a lot of our flights in really long-haul routes that were more affected by fuel. So, you know, we've made the adjustments, and we're kind of on our way back, and, you know, we're still, you know, hoping that, you know, if fuel continues to come down in a big way, we'll make profit for this year, and then we'll be on our way.
David, I understand from my research you've been visiting a high school in New York by the name of Beach Channel. Tell me, why have you been there, and who's Dr. Morris?
Oh, Dr. Morris is the principal of Beach Channel, and we have a program here in New York City called Pencil, which I'm on the board of, which tries to involve businesses in local area high schools to, you know, principal for a day. And so I got acquainted with Dr. Morris by being the principal of Beach Channel High School for a day. And I saw a lot of needs out there. He was doing a great job of running the school, but, you know, really needed, you know, some training and some things that JetBlue could offer. And so we've been involved on their career days and helping them do some things that it's pretty exciting when you can, you know, help go into the community and take a school like Beach Channel and try and impart some of your knowledge and inspire some of the kids that go to school there.
What type of things do you tell these kids?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time with just won't surprise you with the kids that are in resource or remedial reading, because that's where I spent most of my time when I was in school. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you know, what my experience was. I tell them how, you know, everybody thought I was, you know, dumb and stupid and that I would never be successful. And I say, now a lot of those people are working for me. So I tell them, never give up. Never give up. Just work your hardest and keep a good attitude and keep a smile on your face, and things will work out fine.
Do they register? When they look at you, you can't fool kids. Kids are too smart.
No, they get it. No, they totally get it. You know, they understand that. And, you know, I tell them that JetBlue, we hire happy people. We hire nice people. So be nice to each other and come and get a job with us.
David, as we have students, young entrepreneurs listening right now, trying to create their business, what advice do you have for them?
Well, first thing I'd tell you, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, don't do it. You know, if you don't absolutely, you know, come to work every day and you're completely focused on it, then go find a job and work for somebody else. So you need to have that passion. Second of all, if you have the passion, then, you know, be the best. Be the best at what you do. You know, don't create a second-rate product. Don't give a second-rate service, because, you know, business needs high-quality companies that do things good and do things right. And if you can do that and, you know, be efficient at the same time, think of ways to be efficient and keep your costs down, then you'll be successful.
I love it. Well, I know how busy your schedule's been, and I know you've got industry challenges that you're fighting valiantly. I admire you, and I just want to thank you on behalf of our listeners for being our guest today, Dave.
Thank you, John. It was a pleasure being on.
Yeah, it's always good having David Neeleman with us. I also want to thank Kel Archer from JetBlue Airways for her assistance with today's program. And most important, thank you for joining us. I'm John Resnick. This has been Legends of Success. We'll see you next week.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly 1 million people a year. But most of these deaths are preventable with regular activity, a healthier diet, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. You can stop it starting right now. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.